Today we're doing, or we're pretending to do, Simon Kufchav Gimel, Halacha Chav Gimel. It's a very short halacha. It says, Simchavish, Rayan Nesach, Munach, Simchavish, Kasheris. If you have kosher and treif wine mixed together, Tzarchas, Leheker, you have to make some way to determine which way, which was the kosher and the treif. So, I don't have anything to say really about this din itself, but we're going to use it as an opportunity to talk about some simonim from later on.
The hecker is on the treif one.
So whichever one. So we're gonna talk about three different shilas, which one is has to do with Simon Kuflamid that we're not gonna learn. One is has to do with Kuflamid Alf that we're not gonna learn, and one is gonna have to do with Simon Kuflamid Chafein Chavav that we spoke about the last two times. Okay, it's gonna be connected there. So three different questions that we're gonna be talking about. Okay, and the first one is like this. I have to give you a little background just to get before we get to the actual question. The first one is like this. A person leaves food by someone who's not Shomer Shabbos, or he sends food with him, like a package or this and that, so it has to be sealed. The Gemara says the different amounts of seals depending on what the Isser is, what the potential Isser is. I mean, if I send the corned beef sandwich, the potential Isser is he can put in tray meat into that. If I send milk, then the potential is he can make it, chalvachim could be mixed into it. So depending on what the potential Isser is, depends on how much you have to seal it. Some things need one seal, and some things need two seals. Okay, so the Gemara says, chavis needs two seal, and for us, the ches, the beis, and the yud stand for pieces of fish, and pieces of meat, and wine. Wine that's not mevushel needs to have two simon. Okay? No, because you're going to something like that. Because you think it's not a game of license. Because everybody knows that you're not a chaos nowadays. Chatik is dogim, and bays is basar, and yud is yain. Okay, so, and the sof is for things that are not in the game nowadays. Okay, yes, right. So they need two seals of chosim, so chosim, okay? So before, as we move along, I'm going to keep throwing you some information until we get to our real question. There's a little bit of a shy to that, which is, what's the reason why of those three, that one of them is the odd man out, and that is wine, it's not mevushel, because the other ones are all the potential issers and issers deraisa, and wine, the potential issers and issers derabanan. Okay, it's only issers derabanan that they could put in stam yain into it. So what's the reason why wine needs two simanim? So the reason is because there's a chivas nisuch. They're going to have a particular interest in pouring wine, so you have to be extra careful more than other things. To which the Taz says, he says, I don't know. He says, nowadays we don't think that there's a chivas nisuch. Okay, as we saw, the way the goyim in our areas are even avoid the zara, they don't even pour wine at all for the avoid the zara. He says, so there's no chivas nisuch. The Taz says, so then this din that you need two simanim doesn't even apply. He wants to say that it doesn't even apply. The Rosh Hashanah brings it that there's no din of two simanim for wine, even though Shulchan Aruch says that there is. He wants to say there isn't. I don't know if everybody agrees that. Okay, that's just one thing. Okay, so if you have mevushel wine, or you have cheese, or milk, or vinegar, or things like that, so you just need one simon. Okay, now, the Gemara, when we say that you need to have simonim, when we say that you need to have one simon, or one seal, or two, one chosim, or two chosimus, we imagine that means something that's foolproof and impossible to get through, but it's not really true. Okay, it doesn't have to be a perfect seal. There's a machlokes machab and ramot in the beginning of Kuflamid, but what if you have something you could sneak the stuff in between the pack, between the bars, you could pry it open and get stuff into there. There might happen to be machab on there, and machab is mekel, but the one has other kinds of simonim that are also brought in simon Kuflamid, which to us, if you look, they say, no, that's not perfect. It's not for sure that it's a seal, it's not so obvious. Some things, if you look in simon Kuflamid, you find out that not every, it doesn't have to be such a hermetic seal that it's impossible for the person to break into it. And connected to that, as we spoke about some time ago, is that if we only need simonim, or some kind of a seal, if there's a chash, the person has a reason to benefit from switching the food. If he has nothing to gain from it, you don't have to have a simon for it. Okay, the seal is just because you think, oh, it might be worth it to switch it. Lots of times there's no reason why the guy has no incentive to switch one for the other. There's no difference between one and the next. Okay, if there's, I don't know if there's a good example, but if you have cut up fruit, if you have cut up fruit, there's nothing to do with the kosher and the trade. Well, why would he switch one for the other one? So you don't need simon. Okay.
Sounds like meat.
What?
So
So the kosher meat is considered more kosher than the treif meat. Okay, it's first of all, it's more expensive, and they have.
Well, again, you have to find a difference. He's going to get. I mean,
no, because he's going to eat the kosher corned beef, right? He wants the kosher corned beef, and he wants. So that's only there is. Let's say he puts in bread. He sent the
same, but the regular delivery guy is going to run eat kosher.
Right. Right, because it's more expensive, or he thinks it's better, so he wants to switch it. That's a chash that he might switch it. If there's no chash, then you don't have to, you don't need to simon. You know, like the bread. You know how the bread comes without a simon, because there's no reason to switch it. There's nothing better about the kosher than about the trait than the kosher. Okay, we talked about this some time ago. Okay, now, the Gemara says, this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says like this. When we say that a chosim is a chosim or a seal is good enough, that's only true if it's a seal. What happens if it's a lock instead of a seal? So then the din is like this. Mateach v'choisim have a base chosamas. If you bring a lock and a seal, that counts as two simanim. Okay, that counts as two simanim. But al v'dvarim shaday v'choisim echad, if you can get away with just one simon, im lo hayu by elam avteach, if you just had a lock, not a seal, just a lock, lo choshul choisim, that doesn't count. So the difference, I'm about to explain, a lock only counts as a second seal. It doesn't count as an only seal, as the seal. And the difference is because a lock is meant to be open and closed. So if the person found a way to get past your lock, if he has a way to get past the lock that's there, you'll never know. Okay? Because the lock is meant to be open and then reclosed. As opposed to the seal, once you open it, it can't be reclosed. So a seal tells us if I put a tape with my name signed on it, and the guy rips the tape, there's no way he can put it back together. Locks are built to be open and closed, so therefore, if he can get past it, then you won't be able to tell afterwards. So a lock is a good second seal, but a lock is not a good only seal. Okay, now, before we go on, I have to tell you that this din that I just, this that you're reading here for the Shulchan Aruch, that's what the din is like that. But really, it's dependent on a Gemara. I'm not going to tell you all the gory details of it, but I'm going to tell you the short version is, the Gemara says, has a machlokes for the mafteach v'choisam works or doesn't work, and there's a theory in the same Gemara itself, within a few lines of itself, which way do we paskin? Do we paskin this way? Do we paskin that way? Okay, right within a few lines of itself, the Gemara seems to be saying to itself about whether it is good or it's not good. Okay, it's a machlokes in there, and there are four tirutz in the Rishonim that as to how to answer that question, what will you do with this theory? Two of them end up saying this way, and two of them say the other way. So the Taz says, again, I'm not giving you details, I'm telling you just a structure of what's going on over here. The Taz says, the Ramah is makel b'dieved like the other Shitas, okay? Living in a different part of the Shiloh. So the Taz wants to say that maybe the Ramah would not agree with this thing over here. Maybe the Ramah would argue and would say that a lock could be even a single chosim also. A lock could be a complete chosim. The Shach doesn't believe that. Okay, so we're working along the way the Shach says and the way the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch says that one lock is not a sin. Okay, so now
there must be locks. We're talking about locks.
So I'm coming. So what this leads is now ready for a question. Okay, now ready for the question. And the question is like this. This is not my question. This question from some of you know Rabbi Tzvi Haber from the COR. You may know him and his friend Rabbi Riviet. The two of them came and they said the following. They said, well, the din is, a lock is not considered a single, a chosim. It doesn't count as a simon. He says, so why do we use locks? Okay? Why do people use locks? If you go to a restaurant, and the person who owns it is not a Shomer Shabbos, what do? You say, you can't have the keys. Only the Mashgiach has the keys to the place. Because if you had the keys, you might do something wrong. Okay, so he doesn't have the keys. So what that means is the protection that keeps us from knowing that the food inside you was switched kosher for trade is because there's a lock. So what goes on? Just as I do here. If you need a lock, it's not enough. Now, some of the things were locked up actually two chosamas. So if there was a seal, then the lock could be the second seal. But in most cases, the lock is the only thing that's on there, going on there. So what's happening here? Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a lock does not count as a seal. Okay, it could be a second seal, but it can't be the primary seal. So what happened? They come to the restaurant. Hey, this is a pizza shop. You're not sure Shabbos. You can't have keys to your store because you might switch the cheese. Okay, the cheese needs one simon on it. And what do? We lock the door. We have the key to the door. Okay, that's one lock. And a lock is not considered a chosim. Doesn't work. So how do we help ourselves by locking the door and telling the guy that he can't get in? How did that help? Good question. It was a really good question. Well, the question goes on further. They said this. So, the Daki Tshuva brings, it does the Sim Kuf Yud Kes. Sim Kuf Yud Kes and Sim Kuf Lamed have a lot to do with each other. They're very connected. Okay, the two Sim are very similar. A lot of repetition. In Kuf Yud Kes, the Daki Tshuva says, there are some Achorin who say that din of the Gemara is only because of the kind of locks that they had, which were very weak. They weren't such great locks. But nowadays, in the time of those Achorin were writing these Tshuvas, nowadays the locks have become better, and a lock is a good Sim. Okay, for those of you who care about the history, those Jews were written like in the 1700s, and historically, that's actually when locks were getting a lot better. Okay, that interests you.
The scar that you gave before.
But if the lock becomes so good that it's like really you can't break into it, so it's true, if you would get into it, it would
be designed to be open.
Right. Okay. So you can argue. Not everybody in the Daki Jew not. You have a moat. Not everyone back in Shuvah agrees to that. But at least that was a hope. Maybe you say is that nowadays you have done a lot.
So
yes.
What was the
Svar? Every chosin can be mizdash. Every chosin you can mizdash. Part of the Svar is that we don't think talking about Trias himself going to mizdash so much. So every chosin is really defeated. But just, the guy's not going to go such efforts to be mizdash. So it doesn't make any sense. I mean, a lock is hard to pick. At least today.
So that's what Dr. Chu was saying. When the Gemara said that the Shulchan Aruch was talking about locks that were very weak, so it was easy to get past it, and you would never know that I got past it, but maybe our locks are better. Okay, wait a second. They didn't answer that question yet. That was only the beginning of the question. Okay, the question gets better, you know? Okay, and that was like this. So then, Rabbi Ribia then stood up there, okay, and did a demonstration. And
where?
He was talking to a bunch of conscious people. There was a conference going on. He stood up there, and he showed us. He said 2 weeks ago, I had never broken into a lock before. Okay, 2 weeks I never broke into a lock. Okay, so I'm a complete novice at this kind of stuff. In the past 2 weeks, I've been watching YouTube videos, and I learned how to break into every single lock. And there he did for us. Okay, probably very illegal. He showed us how you could break into every single lock. Okay, it was, and so the problem for me then was because I wasn't allowed to write down the notes of how he did it, because that was very illegal to sit and write, tell people how you break into locks. Okay, so he showed us if you're watching really quickly, 8 different ways. There are 8 different methods to break. That's okay.
Well, that when the way that you close it up.
Like yes. 8 different ways that you could break into lock. 8 different methods of getting to lock. Now, not every method works on every single one. Okay, but there are 8 different methods of breaking to lock, and he gave a demonstration.
Anybody's not gonna the car call or the car.
and it was really something else. So he said, let's say that the Daki Tshuva was right. These Tshuvas are right. We have better locks nowadays. But we have another problem, because now we have the internet. Okay, so now it's not just do I, the crook, know how to break into a lock. Anybody can learn how to break into a lock. Just 2 weeks ago, I never had broken into a lock, and now I'm all up against it. I can break into any lock you want to. I can do whatever you want. I can break into any lock. So we should go back to the Gemara that says this, that a lock is not considered a sim.
What do you mean? Isn't a CRC tape, isn't that also
a... So that's a sim. That's a seal. That's a seal, because then if you rip that, you can't put it back together. But a lock is meant to be open and closed. So it's a chosen works. But when, like I said, you lock up the pizza shop, there's no seal. So now they want to suggest, they suggested was, there's such a thing you can get called a lock cover, I think it's called. That is, it's something that goes on your lock, and it lets you put a seal into it. So they said, when we lock the door, we should put a lock, a chosen, with a matar. Well, that tape, it's a whole pachuraya, I think it's... Right, but this is meant for, it's exactly what it's meant for. You have a lock that has a cover on top of it, then you can put a seal through it, and every night you'll seal this place up. That's what they were suggesting.
You don't think the owner could get through a window or something?
So that's a good question. Could you crack in? Okay, that maybe what Yossi said. How much do we think the guy's going to do? I'm not sure. And they said, all they said is you could put in cameras. Okay, because one of the dinim later on in Kof Lamed Aleph, I think it is that Yotze Mechnas works also, so maybe the camera together with the seal, with the lock, would maybe do the trick. Okay, so it's a good question. I'll tell you a maybe answer. I don't have a great answer. Okay, and the maybe answer is like this. Most people that we know, when they go to sleep at night, they lock their front door. Or they leave something valuable in their car. My phone in my car now. I lock the door. Okay. Well, most people, they have something valuable and they want to protect it. They lock it up. Okay. So it could be that even though the internet has all kinds of ways to teach you how to break into locks, realistically,
We all think that locks are very secure. We're all very happy to lock something up, and then we once it's locked, we say, good, now we know no one can take it. So maybe, sort of like the Dakichu was said, which is, locks really are much better than they used to be in the times of the Gemara. Either are ways to break in, it's true, but realistically, I don't know if we take it that way. We lock the door of our house, and we say, good, now things are safe, and now no one's going to get into my house. Even though, again, Rabbi Ribiet can break into your house. Okay, he knows what to do, because he sat and watched YouTube videos.
And that time, they didn't rely on locks? Did they have the same attitude towards locks?
Who didn't? Times of Gemara.
Times of Gemara.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure this is a great answer.
Most people, but they're not going to bother with it, or, you know. But then when they got a real interest in this particular...
An incentive, board, right.
In this particular lock.
So it's a good question. So right. You're right. So the question to me is better than the answer.
I can just say that there's in other cases by the Chavis, so there the guy is trying to cheat it for his benefit, right? He's getting some sort of benefit here. When you already have a shkacha, let's say, so there's already a level of avoidance the person doesn't want to get caught. I mean, there's no benefit for him to cheat because he'll lose everything else that comes from the shkacha.
Well, he has a huge benefit.
So then your system that already exists for the shkacha, why can that also apply to...
Is there any mirsis at 3 o'clock in the morning? No, nobody knows
that. The whole shkacha falls apart.
No, what we did is we locked the door. We said, when it's available, we watch. When it's not available, we lock it up.
That's what I'm saying.
The whole
mirsis. The guy doesn't want to get caught. The shliach doesn't want to get caught. Okay, mirsis.
You want to get caught, but here the shkacha goes, that's not enough. The fact that it's locked up is not enough to stop the guy from breaking into it.
I'm saying, his answer, I don't think it's a good answer, because there's always mirsis. You need all these rules of chaisamis are when there is a mirsis
right. That's when there's a benefit for the guy to do what he's doing here. If he gets caught doing what he's doing, I mean, like he's trying to sneak around here. He's already under a level of scrutiny. It's a different level of mirsis.
And you know, the guy would be fired from his job if he's like,
okay, number two, second. Okay, this one you just have to look at the pictures. Sorry, nothing can come on these slides. Okay, the second child is like this. This shayla has to do with Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph, okay? And that is, in Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph, it tells us that even though I just told you that you could protect things that have simanim, something that has two chosamas, chosam and chosam, is an example in Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph of something where a chosam and chosam does not work. Okay? There's a case, the Shulchan Aruch tells us there's a case where you can't, even a chosam and chosam does not work. And what is that case? That case is when a guy asks you to take his wine, his grapes, and make his grapes kosher. Okay? He says, "You do me a favor, come and make my grapes. I know if I touch it, Jews won't buy it. I want you, the Jew, to come in and make the wine, and then then the wine will be kosher, and then we're going to sell it afterwards." Okay, so the Yid comes and makes the wine. If the Yid leaves the wine in the guy's property, a chosim to a chosim does not work. It's not enough. You cannot do a chosim to a chosim. You need to have a necklace, all kinds of ideas of what you have to do to make sure to keep it kosher. But a chosim to a chosim does not work in that case. Okay. So now here comes
what does work?
Nothing. Like you need to have a necklace. You can't do it.
Something foolproof. No, simon mug would work. Something foolproof would work.
Well, a chosim to a chosim is usually what we call a simon mug. That's usually the same thing. So it doesn't work.
What you have to do is you have to make a financial arrangement.
So Rabbi Singer. From the OU, I don't know if you know Rabbi Singer. Rabbi Singer, one of his jobs here, he's mainly
just for wine, right? He's just for wine.
For wine. So Rabbi Singer is most famous for taking care of Pesach, but he also takes care of wine for the OU. So Rabbi Singer said, okay, he said, so what's going on here? He says, this is a pretty regular practice that people do this, that they bring the mashgichim, they come in, they make the wine kosher, and then they don't sit there every day. They seal it up, and when it's time to put it in the bottles, they come back and they watch them put it in the bottles, but the rest of the time it just sits there. Now. So the first thing which solves most of the problems, this is Rabbi Singer says, is that it's only for one that's not Mavushal. One that's Mavushal, he wouldn't have a problem with this. I'm not sure from regards to this, but it sounds right. So most of the time they do this, it's Mavushal. Okay, most of the grape juice for sure, and most of the wine also is Mavushal. So we're good, we don't have this. Then this is a deal for one that's not Mavushal.
And that's not so partial, right? Because he can be Machlevit with wine as well. That's
Trave.
That's right.
So he didn't bring him a card at the end. I looked around. I didn't see someone who said this, but there was a logic.
It is. My mind is kosher, but the problem is it's putting it on the other.
So when I tell you his first answer to the question, maybe that'll help us understand what he just said. Okay. Maybe the first answer will help us understand. So he wants to give two answers to explain what it is, why it's okay. The second answer maybe help you. The first answer he says is there's a Tosis over there who says this whole din is limited to a very specific case. The goy has grapes, and he has the yid come in and make wine out of them. Because the goy did almost nothing. Okay, he just said, hey, work with my grapes and do this. If the goy had to do things to make it work, like, for example, the goy had to go out and buy the grapes, then it wouldn't be true. The goy, if he's already putting more efforts into it, then we don't have this chash that he's gonna go try and sneak ahead and try to get past your simanim when you're not there. Only when the case, when the goy is, when it's his own grapes, that's a thing. So everything is in a lot of the situations, that's exactly what goes on. Is that the people who have the winery, the place where the grapes are sitting and are being pressed and are being stored, are not the guys who own the grapes. They're a winery. They make wine. But they buy grapes from somebody else. Their Tyson says if you buy from somebody else, then they already made so much effort to do it, they may be enough. Okay. Yes, it's brought in. Sorry. Kuf Lamed Aleph Halacha Beis. It's the second Halacha Netiv. Okay, what Kuf Lamed Aleph Halacha is that says that you can't do it, and the Kuf Lamed Aleph Halacha Beis says that you can. Okay, but the other answer is, he wants to say that maybe this whole thing is only a chashash when there's a chibas nisuch, I mentioned beforehand, only when the government has a special interest to pour wine from a desara, so, and which again, as I said to you before, it doesn't apply nowadays, so then we have this chashash that they're going to sneak in when you're not there, they're going to grab their wine that they have access to and get to it even through your siman. Okay, and what David was being promised to is that this everything he didn't say, but the shach says is that if the yid has any ownership in that wine, then there's no chashash. It's only if it's completely the goy's. So sometimes that in the financial arrangements that works out that the yid has a partial ownership. Okay. Anyhow, this is our second question. Again, I'm not sure that the answer solves the question. Okay. Second. Now, the third is a interesting thing that just came up. That was like this. There's a company called Korovin. Okay. And they came to solve a problem. Okay. A problem that I don't have. So people are more sophisticated, and that is, when you open a bottle of wine, as soon as you take out the cork, air gets into the bottle, and when air gets into the bottle, it starts to change the taste of the wine. I don't want to say ruin it, but it affects the taste of the wine. So the problem is, if you're very particular about your wine, once you open the bottle and you drink one cup, and you put it away for a few days, then when you taste it a few days later, it's not going to taste good. So you put the cork back in, it's still not going to do. Some air got in, it's going to ruin the taste. So these people came to solve that problem, okay? And they said, we're going to solve the problem. We have a way to get the wine out without taking out the cork. Okay? We'll help you get the wine out of your bottle without taking out the cork. What do they do? You'll see the video in a second. They have this device. The device has a long needle in it. You can see in the picture, so if you see the guy by his belt, there's this long needle coming down. There's a long needle over here coming down. And the needle pokes through the cork, and it shoots argon gas. Argon is an inert. It's not, well, nowadays they don't call it inert anymore. They call it noble gas. Okay, it's basically inert. The point is that it doesn't react with your wine. So it's pushing that into the bottle, causes extra pressure in the bottle, and then the wine squirts out of this machine. You'll see in a second how it works. It comes squirting out of the device, and then what happens is when you pull the needle out, when you're finished and you pull the needle out, the cork reseals around itself. Okay, the cork can fold back over on itself. So what happened is you didn't put any air in; you only put in this argon gas, and the seal is intact because the cork seals right back on top of itself. So it only works if you have a real cork. You know, if you have a plastic one, it's not going to go. Okay, but if you have a real cork, it goes in, it seals back up after itself, and now you
can do the device. You stick a needle in there, I assume, since it's right.
No, if you stick a needle into it, you try to get the wine out, it's going to be replaced. The wine won't come out unless you take
it. The sealing of the cork, that has nothing to do with that. Right.
No, they're taking advantage of the fact that the cork will seal up back on itself.
Stuck in the thing.
And cork is like that. It expands. That's what cork does. It expands.
Can you put wine in?
So, we're going to talk about that. Hold on a second. So that's what the device is. Okay, so now I told you what it's going to look like. You can watch him in the video of how this thing works, okay? The guy really talks, but in the video it doesn't come out in sound. Okay, he clamps onto the top. I'll do the play-by-play. He clamps onto the top.
Draws a circle.
Let's see what it does. Okay, he pushes down. Come on, guys. Push down. Oh, that's the squirt out if there's any leftover wine in the device. Okay, push it down. Squirt. Okay, he just pushed it through the cork. Tips the bottle over. When he hits that little lever that he's clicking with his hand, you're going to see with his thumb, he's going to click this lever. It's going to let the argon gas into the bottle, okay? And now, once he got the pressure in the bottle, wine comes pouring out. It's pouring out the cup through, again, back through the same needle, out through this thing. And when he stands the bottle, when he stands it up, it stops flowing. And here he goes, he's going to pull up the needle. Pull up the needle, and take off the device. And now you'll see, on the bottle, nothing leaks out anymore.
No,
nothing leaks out anymore. And he tells you that, you see, there might be a little bit of drop of thing.
Because once you need to help for it to come out.
And once you wipe it off, it reseals back over itself, and now there's no,
so cool.
And now there is no, and expensive. Not too cool, and expensive.
Not for real.
But this might be, not expensive.
What?
No, it's a few hundred dollars. Okay, so it's, and of course, the argon gas costs 60 cents a bottle to, you know, for how much gas you use. Okay, so that's, if you're a big connoisseur, that's what you want to have. Your pound of the Okay, so what happens like this. So the shayla that we got was like this. The shayla just came maybe 2 weeks ago. Came to CRC. Like this. A restaurant bought one of these devices. I guess they serve fancy wine, and they want their wine to stay fresh and good. So for them, it was worth it to buy. And they wanted to know if they take wine out with this device, they take it out of a bottle of wine that's not mufushel, they take a cup out, did that affect the wine that's inside the bottle? Okay?
Trade wine.
Kosher wine. If it's trafe wine, then they don't care. The question is what's the status of the wine inside?
Why not?
Give me a second. They just answered the question. Okay. They said we have a bottle of non-negotiable wine, and they stick the thing in and take out a cup of wine.
The guy wants to do it.
A guy, they're up in the air. They're open to suggestions. They want, if we use this device on this bottle, will the wine still be considered kosher and not negotiable? Okay.
If it's a guy.
What's the problem? Say it.
I'm going to give me a second. Let me talk, and I'll talk. I'll tell you. They didn't answer the question with any deep thought. They said, "Is it okay?" They said, "Is it okay, Rabbi? Rabbi, is it good?" Whatever we tell them, that's what they're going to do. Okay. So the first thing is, this shayla is not a shayla for Chicago. It's not a negeta, and that's because in Chicago we would never let a restaurant have non-negotiable wine. Okay, we talked about that last time. You can't have non-negotiable wine. There's two different ways that could end up in problems. So we would never let a restaurant have non-negotiable wine. But it would be negated, as some places do. There are some, we talked about last time, some cities will let people, restaurants have non-negotiable wine. And it would get into a house. Okay, what happens if you have a person in their house wants that they have non-negotiable wine and they want to have this device and they have going in their house? Would that be a problem? Okay, so the first thing is, the first look at this was, the first approach to this device is, if you have that device in your restaurant or in your house, then regardless of whether you use it on a bottle, every bottle is no longer sealed anymore. Because what's the point of a seal? A seal means is...
You have to put something in.
Right. A seal means is you can't get stuff in and out of the bottle because there's a seal in the way. Okay, well, a seal doesn't mean anything if there's a way to get through it. So you just want a way to get around the seal. Okay, we have a seal. The cork is in there with the thing in there. And now there's a way to get around it. Because...
No.
I'm not chayshit that guy walking around with a $1,000 device to break into my bottle of wine. But once in my restaurant they have one, once it's sitting there, so then all of a sudden the seals are not worth anything.
It's the plastic.
So if you leave the plastic on, that's true, because the plastic doesn't reseal up on itself, so the plastic is good, if there's a plastic.
Or have the wine in there.
What do you say?
How's it going to change the wine? It could take wine out.
I'm going to talk about that in 1 second. I'm getting to that. But I think the first look at it was, wait a second, the fact that we have this device here means that we've just ruined all of our seals. We don't have any seals at all. Okay? So one thing is you can use the plastic, you can leave the plastic on, or you can lock it up. Okay, you can have this device and have it on the only mashgiach. You can get to it. You can be more limited. So then we're just back to the shayla of, okay, let's say the lamaisa took wine out of a bottle, would it make a difference? Okay, would it make a difference? But now, if we look into it, okay, now we're going to go back to stuff that we spoke about the last two times. We look into it, we have to think about it. Okay, let's say you can get wine out through the seal. Okay, you can get it through because you could suck it out and you would never know the difference that it was taken out of it. You can't tell at all that this was ever used. Does that make a difference? Is that going to make a difference to the wine that's in there? Okay, and so if you remember, we spoke about there's three different ways that wine can become trafe. Okay, there's three different ways. You could touch it. If a guy touches it, it can become trafe. If he pours it, it can become trafe. And through something called nitzuk, if it's connected to wine, that's trafe. Okay, those are the three different ways that wine can become trafe. And I'm going to go through each one of them to see if those things are possible in this case using this device. Okay. So the first thing is, if guy touches wine, then the ikar din is the wine is asabana. That din applies even if he does it through a bottle. We talked about it two times ago. Even if he does it through the bottle, it would be a problem. And therefore, in theory, if he touches the wine through a bottle that's not sealed, the wine can become asr. But we saw that wine can only become asr by hanah through touching if you did something called shikshuk. And we saw also that there is no such thing as, there is no possibility of shikshuk when the thing is covered. It doesn't have to be sealed. As long as it's covered, there's no shikshuk. So in our case, we couldn't possibly have an isr hanah on the wine because he touched it, because he moved around the bottle, because shikshuk with the cover on doesn't work. And then we can even potentially then say that it wouldn't even be asr b'shtiyah either. Because remember the Ramah, by going one step down, maybe mut the b'shtiyah. Okay? So, on the other hand, the Ramah says, we don't tell this to an Amoritz, so we wouldn't let a restaurant rely on that. And Shach says, maybe it's only mutter makom hefsid. Rav Moshe says, it's only mutter b'di'evid, it's not mutter l'chatchila. So that line of reasoning is not going to help us. But what will help us is, why we say, is, that we saw also that when you have wine in a container, I mean, you didn't put your hand into it, it's just in a container, we don't have to be choshesh at the shikshuk. We only have to say there was shikshuk if we actually saw it. If you put your hand into it, we assume there's shikshuk. If you just, in a container, we don't have to. Okay? So, the touching we're safe from. Okay? What about pouring? So, pouring.
Touching, you know, he's sticking the thing into it.
He's touching it through something else. But the needle is not doing the shikshuk. The needle is not doing the shikshuk. The one is. I'm going to think about it.
Rabbi, you still haven't explained the shayla. I don't understand what the shayla is. This question is: a guy pour this wine, or the wine didn't pour it?
So in this case, we're talking about now. A guy is touching the wine. Yes, a guy touched the wine.
How does a place have a guy pouring non-bushel wine? I don't understand what the matzias of the shayla is.
Okay, so the question. Give me one more second.
If it's not sealed anymore, so let's say the Jew does pour all the wines, but they put it down.
I said to you, it is no longer sealed because anybody could pour out of this bottle.
I said, yes,
but now the question is, let's say it's not sealed. Does that make a difference? Could we go wrong if it's not sealed? If I just said to you, you can't go wrong with touching. The fact that it's not sealed can't be touched, even though it's not sealed, because it's covered, and we can't get to shikshuk. We don't have to push it through the shikshuk in that case. Okay, so now it could be pour. So the pouring is the case that you're all thinking of, which is when you pour wine, if the guy would pour wine, the wine would be treif. But the wine that he would pour would be out of the bottle. Okay, there wouldn't be wine that he poured in the bottle. The wine that he poured would be out of the bottle. So you can't go wrong if it's out of the bottle, because it's out of the bottle. That I don't care about that. Somebody walked off with that wine. Sorry, the stuff that's left in the bottle, excuse me, wouldn't be treif because he poured it.
He's pouring for you, when comes to dinner there.
No, of course he's, no. No one's letting him pour wine for a year. If Pashit, we're not going to let him pour wine. But because he's there, he might pour wine. No one's watching. He could pour wine through a cup. Usually we have a seal. Now because of this device, we don't have a seal. We don't have a seal. Maybe he's pouring wine when everyone's busy doing something else. He's just pouring wine from himself. So the wine that he pours, yeah, will taka be treif, because he poured the wine. It's karcha, it'll be awesome. But that, the question, does it affect the wine that's in the bottle? So to affect the wine in the bottle, you have to have nitzuk. You have to say is the wine in the cup is connected to the wine in the bottle. Okay? So, we saw last time, there's a shayla. What happens if you do nitzuk to wine that it was only poured? Wine that's only poured is only asr b'shtiyah, it's not asr b'ana. It's a machlokes nachlokes, whether that makes the nitzuk back to the wine in the bottle, as we spoke about last time, does it make nitzuk back to the wine in the bottle? And let's say we would even be make on the shayla. Even if we make on that shayla, what's a machlokes nachlokes? Whether there's nitzuk from wine that was just poured by anybody. But the problem here is, not just that he might pour it for a year, here he might pour it for himself. Okay? Which is where we're heading to what the shayla is. If he pours the wine for himself, he pours himself a cup of wine, what will happen? It's not the pouring that would make a trade. The pouring would make a trade. But when it gets into his cup, the din is, if you have wine in a cup, and he moves the cup around, or he drinks from the cup, that wine is asr b'hanah also. That's considered he was mashach, and the wine is asr b'hanah. So if he used this device to pour himself a cup, the wine that he drank from is asr. Big deal. We don't care. The guy, he drank it. We don't care if they drank it. But now that's nitzuk back to the wine that's in the bottle.
If he pours it again, the second cup.
No, well, if as he's pouring it, he moves his cup, it would be asr. And if he pours and drinks and pours a second time, it also would be asr. So because of that, so now we're to the question, which is the answer, which is, because of the fact that if he pours himself a cup of wine, or he pours for another guy, a guy pours for a guy a cup of wine, the wine in the cup will be asr b'hana me'ikar hadin, and therefore there will be nitzik back to the wine in the bottle. So mamela. The fact that they have access to the wine in the bottle through this device means is that all the wine in the store is now not considered sealed and is usher because there's a possibility now he could just pour himself a cup. There's no way to tell that he poured himself a cup. And when he pours himself a cup, that will make not just his cup usher, but the wine back in the bottle usher.
So what do you mean there's no way to tell that he poured himself a cup? There is a way to tell.
How can you tell?
Because you see there's less wine in the cup than in the bottle.
Because you can look the bottle. So if you could really tell, so that's what someone suggested. We'll put a mark on the bottle so you can see if the bottle is full. If you can
see that, every full bottle is for sure fine.
Well, if you can you really tell that the bottle is full and someone didn't take out a drink out of it? I don't.
They're taking out like a
right. Take a small amount. So we if you could be
in
sure.
In theory, you should because they have exactly 750.
I don't think most people weigh their wine before.
Everything in theory is possible.
Right. So yes. So you could mark it. You could mark it, or you could pay attention to it, and you could use it. But
we're not going to take a little bit of time. Take a lot. So.
Okay. No, also, wait, Regan. The point of the restaurant buying this is in order that they should take one cup at a time. So now I took a cup out of the thing. Okay, now how do I know that he didn't take a second cup? So I have to keep track of each one. Why did they buy this device? So they could serve people cups of wine.
Right.
So they serve somebody one cup of wine.
Rabbi is the one who's doing it. Right?
And he serves one cup
and
of wine.
He puts his signature on. Makes a mark and
buys right. So, now, so each will have to keep track. Each bottle will have to mark what
weird. This is expensive wine, so yeah.
Okay, fine. So you're right. I'm not saying we can't get around it, but having the device means that things are not sealed where they're supposed to be.
Really foreign, right? What happens is stuffing the gas in, and then that pressure is displacing that amount of wine.
Yes.
It's not a direct pour. It's not when he pours that bottle that there's a stream.
So that's an interesting point. But realistically, he's holding the bottle like this, and the wine is pouring out.
It's happening in real time, or
yeah, it happens live. He turns the bottle open. Doesn't go.
Pushing the lever.
No, he pushed the lever just to push the gas in. That lets the gas into the bottle. Now it's pressurized. And when he tilts the bottle, now it comes out. If he leaves the bottle straight, it doesn't come out.
Can you leave it tilted? The whole bottle will pour out.
Yes. Well, I have yes and no. Right. At a certain point, he will have to add more gas into the thing. No, I think that. No, he will not have to add more. Because once he's got, what's it called?
Stream.
Yeah, there's a word.
It keeps on going.
Suction going, it'll keep on going. Yeah, it'll keep on going. Yes, once he's got it going, it'll keep on going.
Really?
Yeah, but until he turns it straight up.
And so if he pours out the whole bottle, so it's just this giant vacuum inside?
Okay, you can talk to a scientist. What's going on?
I'm saying.
Why? Yeah. Why can't
I? Air bubbles start going back in.
Stream that goes straight in.
Look, you see what happened? You
don't know what happened. He gave him a little fetch, and then he poured a certain amount. I'm saying, if you with that one.
And let's say you're right. Let's say the whole bottle wouldn't come out. Why would that not come out?
Is it just displaying a certain amount of the collection thing, and then?
No, it's going right out the tube. It's coming up the tube as he does it. As the second he turns it back, it stops coming. It's okay.
What's the shadow in the house?
That's the same thing. If I have a guy in the house, so now I have a person in the house. A guy. If they pour themselves a cup of wine, when I'm not standing there, I have no way of knowing.
Why does this device invent the shadow?
Because until then, I keep the bottle sealed. As the cork is
my device. Here. The guy's not touching me with my device.
Because
I'm going to be chushy today. He snuck my device and poured himself a bottle. See, you this whole shaila is not a shaila. I thought it was a shaila. It's a kid, but the whole shaila is that I lost my chaisomers. That's a chaisomers shaila.
Yeah, the title was sealed. That was the title of this year. Was sealed. So, right, that I don't have a seal on my thing anymore.
It's my device. I'm chushy today. He's stealing my device.
In other words, when the chickster comes out, they just sit there. They just beautifully look around the house. And no, they do things. They're busy with the house.
I have my device in my room over there. I don't be chushy. They found my device, took my device, and this.
Okay.